Hey, welcome family to My Irreligious Life Podcast with your host Jermaine Thomas, aka The Professor. Deconstructing and deconverting from your faith is a very difficult journey. The process can have psychological and emotional implications. Join us as we have a heartwarming and engaging dialogue around this and so much more. Let's get it, family. Today, I just wanted to highlight or flesh out a few points and perspectives around the conversation of deconstruction. And it depends on what wing of Christendom you're probably in. In some wings of Christendom, they demonize deconstruction. In some wings of Christendom, they recognize that people have hard questions relative to their life and that the Bible in and of itself doesn't necessarily speak to. And nor was the Bible designed to do that. That doesn't mean we can't draw inspiration from scripture. Muslims draw inspiration from the Quran with different sects of viewpoints and the perspectives that they have within that umbrella of Islam. Same thing in Judaism. Or in the, I like to call the Abrahamic faiths, the three Abrahamic faiths, Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. There's a lot of centrism in between the three when it comes to duality of philosophy and beliefs and outlook in that respect. And so people have questions, and oftentimes our response is out of a need for certainty rather than the wrestle around the mystery or being able to say unequivocally, I don't know. We are a product of our religious conditioning and our indoctrination, and that becomes a part of our reality, and we accept it as a truth. But when you really study the Bible, you do begin to challenge doctrinal ideas and positions or philosophies that have nothing to do with Jesus, that have nothing to do with the context or the cultural context of the scriptures. And so when you come to a realization that, hey, like Clairfo Dollar, deconstructed, right? That's a case study and prime example. And so people build their life around these teachings of these leaders and things like that. But then when they're challenged or presented with a different information, the knee-jerk reaction is to write people off, gaslight them, and all the other stuff that we do in demonizing deconstruction. One pastor said that people are deconstructed because it's the sexy thing to do now. It is a buzzword, and some people talked about using different language and things like that. But anyway, that's enough of the preliminaries around deconstruction. The heart of my conversation today is just to highlight this point, and I posted about it the other day, is that people who are deconstructing, in most instances, or it has been my observation of my conversation or end or my experiences, is that it can be very dysregulating mentally and emotionally when a person is deconstructing. And so this conversation is to provide tools or awareness to those that want to walk with those or want to be open-minded about deconstruction. And how do you support somebody during their time of deconstruction? One of the first things to do is to affirm their reality, right? Affirm, you know, what they're going through. Affirm their questions. Affirm their doubts. Affirm their own personal critical analysis and reasoning around the change in their beliefs. A lot of our conditioning, right? An aspect of deconstruction is coming to a realization of how you've been indoctrinated, how you've built your life around these perception of truths, and to come to find out that they're really not a reality at all. That could be dysregulating. And so I encourage you to go and look up post-cult syndrome, right? That gives a picture of people in some instances. That's not with everybody, because everybody's deconstructing journey is different. And that's another key point to point out, is that everybody's journey is different. The cause or the reasoning of why a person is deconstructing, right, in their life. And so don't gaslight people. Don't assume. Just be an active listener. Be present. That is the most empowering thing that you can do for a person that is experiencing or walking through some aspects of deconstruction. Because let's just be honest, we get into our groupthink, we get into our camps of thinking, and we camp out there under the auspice of being dead right at the expense of the well-being, the emotional and mental well-being of others around us. And what the group thinker do is they'll ghost a person. So it's basically like Jesus ghosting Thomas, doubting Thomas, right? Oh, he don't believe, so we put him out. He has these doubts and questions, we put him out. But in reality, this is a normalcy, and it's a global phenomenon. Deconstructing is not something that's just happening in our brand of Christianity, right? This thing is happening globally in other faith traditions, particularly in the Abrahamic faiths. You have Muslims that's deconstructing. You have Mormons that's deconstructing. You have Jehovah's Witnesses that's deconstructing. Just go to YouTube and you'll see it. So this thing is a global phenomenon. It's happening in Orthodox or ultra-Orthodox Judaism. People are shedding what appears to me is shedding the fundamental aspects, the indoctrination aspect of their faith tradition. And many go on to reconstruct a more progressive ideology or lens when it comes to the Bible, scripture, and things like that. And others deconvert. But that's the value of autonomy and valuing people's autonomy. And so another aspect of the deconstructing phenomenon or continuum, I like to say, is that if you truly want to be empowering for people, be quiet, sit and listen and learn. And then the other part to that is that reconstruction, I've been hearing or seeing posts a lot about that as well. Don't deconstruct to the point where you don't have nothing left. For some people, listen to me, for some people, converting their faith is the best thing that they need to heal in their life. Again, if you pivot back to go and read and look up, Google it, is to Google post-cult syndrome. And then a person to reconstruct. The most important thing a person needs to reconstruct in their life after or during or some phase of deconstruction is reconstructing the value around your own autonomy and taking your autonomy back. We have abdicated an aspect of our spiritual development to, let's say, a Creflo Dollar. And let's just say you've been a faithful, consistent member of this guy for 20-some years, 15 years. And he comes and says, hey, you constructed. And what I shared with you was under a false pretense of understanding. Again, not intentionally, because this is how we've been indoctrinated. And this is what we need. We need to have honest, open conversation about our religious indoctrination and religious conditioning and separate that out. And so I think I use this for example again, deconstructing Jesus, which can be unnerving for some people. And what I mean by that is there is the biblical representation, right, of Jesus. But then there's the things that
theory, Christology,
these other ologies that we come to a consensus of Jesus. Nothing that Jesus himself argued. Jesus never argued and debated Christology. Jesus never argued and debated soteriology. That's all us. That's all under the auspice or the umbrella of theology. If anything, Jesus was very irreligious. I like to tell people that. And for some people, they need to leave out of that system of groupthink and thinking, right, to get to reacclimate themselves to a different understanding of God, the scriptures, the Bible, with respect to historical context and its relevance, and getting a different picture of Jesus versus the one that they may have been conditioned in. Okay, so you think about a person growing up in a fundamental religion, right? They're very rigid in their view around sex. Purity culture has failed. There's material and conversations about that. Complementarianism, right? Toxic masculinity, patriarchy, all of that breathes into this. I like to say that fundamentalism breeds cultism. Plain and simple. You can agree, disagree, that's fine. But that's my consensus. That's my perspective. That's based off of anecdotal evidence. But then there's some research out there to affirm that. And that's just where I am in my perspective. So there's a reality of being indoctrinated that we have to confront. So cognitive dishonesty kicks in, and that could be dysregulating too. And so that becomes a part of the knee-jerk reaction. But again, what I really want to flush out about deconstruction is the emotional and mental dysregulation that people experience in their life. And in that process, if you really want to be effective in helping somebody, in that is value their autonomy. And that's just plain and simple. A lot of times we get into the conversation of reconstruction. Reconstruct what? What is the person to reconstruct in their life? And those are the type of conversations we need to have. Okay. And sometimes our intentions are well-meaning, but they're very shallow, right? Because in some instances, you know, you don't want a person to be deconverted from their faith. It's, again, we tend to not value that person's autonomy and their right to pursue their spirituality as they feel and deem that is beneficial and empowering to them. Okay? Plain and simple. That is just plain and simple. But what happens is that, especially if our framework is dualistic, the devil and God and good and evil, or our eschatology lens. So if a person, religious indoctrination and conditioning is that the end times, that the rapture is soon to happen, the lens in which they see people like me or others who challenge the status quo of thinking within the context of Christian, these are signs of the great falling away. And so they double down. And this is all psychological, y'all. This whole context, us versus them, duality, all of that speaks to psychological dysfunctions within our own selves. And we just project it out through our religious condition. And people are harmed and hurt because of it. And again, with, for example, like Creflo Dollar, how do I transition out of that? My pastor transitioned out of that. It may be a struggle for me. And so my encouragement has been, even though I formally would never, ever be a member of anybody's church, not in that context. I believe that there's a utility to church, and the Black church experience has been staple to African-American progress. And so I just want to recognize that. But church may not be for everybody, okay? And I know community is, but you can get community anywhere. It doesn't have to happen in the building. I'm saying all of this to say that we need to just stop. Stop your sermon series. Stop the preaching, whatever. Just stop for a second, right? And take an introspective step back. And build a nexus around conversations. If you really care about the people of God, or the people that, this is particularly to leaders, if you care about the people in your congregation, survey your congregation to get an assessment. Do a general assessment of where your people are and what they need, you know what I mean? And shift accordingly. But create a space for open-hearted, non-judgmental, objective dialogue. And you get a greater sense. That's true discipleship, is doing life with people. Not as what the scriptures say, the Pharisees, they travel miles and miles just to make one convert, according to their ideology and beliefs, not to the value of that person's autonomy that's unique to their authenticity and who they are. No, you have to think like this. And so we disciple for the sake of conforming. We preach for the sake of conformity, and that's out of our indoctrination and religious conditioning. We don't disciple out of the value of a person's autonomy. Okay? Autonomy is not even a part of it. It's no longer, your life don't belong to you, it belongs to God and the church. That's basically what we're saying in instance, that you can't be trusted with your life, so you must trust the man or woman of God to give you the edicts of God, the protocols of God for your life. Absolutely not. Take your autonomy back and take authority and control over your own spiritual growth and development. Period. Plain and simple. That's the aspect and one of the strengths of deconstruction. And then what I like to say was under the umbrella of deconstructing, or on the deconstructing continuum, is decolonizing your faith and, for some instances, deconverting, right? So for me, I deconverted from this us versus them perspective and presentation of Jesus. And so I like to talk about, I say it jokingly, but in reality, there's some truth to it, right? That these Jesus variants, and I get the variants from the Marvel, Loki, the different variants, right? That term variant. But there's these Jesus variants that I've been conditioning. You know what I mean? Rambo Jesus coming back at the time of the apocalypse and the battle of Armageddon. Rambo Jesus is going to kill all the people and save us and return Earth back to the Christians. That is a superiority complex, okay? That's embedded within the context of Christendom, especially resident Christianity. This is egregious, but this allegiance to supremacism, right? We'll call out ISIS and Islamic extremists in a heartbeat. But anything on a Christian extremist, you're attacking the churches being persecuted and things like that. But anyway, the heart of this conversation, the most important thing I want you to take away from this and all of what I just ranted about is to value others' autonomy, period. That's how you help somebody deconstruct. That's how, if you don't know, just say you don't know and leave folks alone. Don't gaslight people. Don't ghost people. If you truly have a care and a concern, a genuine care and concern for the sheep or God's people. But that's the heart and the intent of this particular vlog. And that's the heart and intent behind a lot of things that I bring to the forefront, is to bring awareness that this is a reality and that the church itself, that auspice or that presentation of church, if you will. It's time for introspection, right? It's just time for introspection. It's time to have conversations. We've just came out of, we're in a post-pandemic reality. And a lot of people haven't had a chance to really process a lot of that hurt, loss, and trauma. There is a such thing as a syndrome associated with COVID because of the lockdowns and things like that. And I believe research in years to come will talk about the deep impact that the COVID shutdown and COVID itself had on the psychological, mental awareness, mental wellness of people. And I believe that it's shown in a lot of our inner cities and not having access to trauma-informed care. And let alone our churches are the intersectionality in these spaces. And people are going to churches where pastors are not trauma-informed, are not having conversations, right? Pray about it, shout it out, praise over it, but no encouragement or no access to a clinical person that can be staffed at the church, people to be assessed and things like that, be referred out for services if need be, or build support spaces for people that are navigating out of these different things. But deconstruction, the most important thing is to be aware that when people are deconstructing, it could be some of the most emotional and mentally dysregulating thing a person can be experiencing in their life. But yet, it's exhilarating and exciting because you're unpacking these things. You're seeing things about yourself in a different light as well. But at the same time, people process differently in their experiences. And we have to be mindful of that. But that's it. That's my rant for the day. I hope that something I shared or stated would empower you, encourage you, but more importantly, challenge you to think. God bless, family. Bye.
Hey, family, thank you for tuning in to my Irreligious Life podcast with your host, Jermaine Thomas, your go-to podcast for religious commentary and so much more. My Irreligious Life is a subsidiary of Black Brilliance Media, and hit us up for sponsorship opportunities, family. God bless.